Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer and depository service. Coins Plus is actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of coins and precious metals. We buy all forms of collections and estates. We're always buying scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. We specialize in quality diamonds at affordable wholesale prices. We believe that for quality, we'll pay more than anyone and we'll sell for less than anyone. That may sound foolish until you understand the extreme margins that your average diamond broker puts into a diamond. Please keep in mind, just because a business owner or dealer uses the Christian badge doesn't mean you're financially safe. The point of True Wealth is to educate the consumer, give you a handle on what I believe I see going on in the world today. Coins Plus offers the highest rated private depository service as well. A lot of people come in and invest and buy stuff and say, now what do I do with it? Well, we built that into our facility as well. So long story short, no matter what you have or what you're looking for in our arena of severely compact forms of wealth, that is our specialty. Gold Eagles, American Eagles, you know, whatever it is. The bottom line is, and I'll touch on this in the show here, hard tangible assets are really where you want to be, as ultimately some pretty drastic economic circumstances are heading our way. I think they're inevitable. It's simple mathematics. It's not really a debatable, negotiable topic. It's really a matter of when, not if. And I would say that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world all the time. We've become incredibly numb to all of it. It's just one crazy thing after the next. I mean, let's face it. You know, we've got planes disappearing in the ocean, and a short period of time, that's no longer even, you know, good news. We've got the federal government not only confiscating cattle down in Nevada, but we've got, you know, all of the major acts of terrorism in the last decade somewhat staged or handled by the FBI. We've seen in the Bundy raid in Nevada on the cattle ranch. Without getting into the details, I'm sure most of you understand what's going on down there. You got a landowner whose family has owned land for, you know, I'm thinking around 140, 150 years, since the 1870s. The federal government's making a big hoopla over some tortoise that they're trying to save on county land, not federal land, but county land. It's negotiable whether or not the tortoise, well, it's pretty much agreed upon. The tortoise is no longer extinct. They're all over. Nothing the cattle do affect the tortoise. This guy had permission from the county to graze on the land. The feds came in and started confiscating his cattle. Basically, a court said they can't do that. They appealed. They got to a point where they got a $14 million settlement from the federal government. The federal government told them to take a hike. They said they wouldn't pay it. They said they'd wait until it went to the 9th District Court. Now, the 9th District Court is the most radical, ridiculous court of the land. They, of course, ruled in the government's favor. Now, Bundy wants to appeal. Then the government says they won't honor the lower court's ruling, which favored for Bundy. Then the higher court rules in their favor, and they say they won't honor the appeal transition. So they come in and they just start to violently confiscate cattle and land, and they've threatened people's lives. They've used violence against protesters, And in my opinion, folks, I hate to say this, this reminds me a lot of the David Koresh Waco event. You guys remember Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge. These are things where the government gets away with methodical homicide and walks free, you know. The president usually compliments them for what they did, and it's terrifying. And I think the truth of the matter is, in this case, you know, if that does come to that, and I say that you need to be prepared for what I call staged violence so that they can blame the Bundys and the protesters and then come in and attack, okay? They've already thrown a pregnant woman to the ground. They've attacked a cancer victim, threw them to the ground. They've tasered people. The BLM, Bureau of Land Management, has been attacking innocent bystanders for exercising their First Amendment free speech rights. The BLM made some corny little First Amendment area that was, I think they said, like 30 minutes from the site, totally irrelevant. So the BLM, and of course the protesters said, that's not the First Amendment. This is public land. We can be wherever we want. So the BLM's throwing people to the ground and arresting them for yelling. And the left-wing media is attacking the protesters for violent rhetoric. The local bureaucrats are threatening that the protesters should be making funeral arrangements, as well as the Bundys. They had some guy on yelling, you know, saying they're breaking the law. What law are they breaking? The BLM, other than not following the government's orders. Now, here's where we walk a fine line, okay? In the Bible, what's it tells us? It says, you know, all authority has been put down by God. We're supposed to obey the authorities, obey the laws, and that's what a good Christian does. Okay, so what law do you obey? Do you obey the Constitution, which says, you know, it gives you basically the Bill of Rights, and then it says anything that's not covered by the Bill of Rights is transferred to the state, and then, of course, the feds have packed in, you know, umpteen gajillion laws to fill that in. Or do you obey the law when the federal government comes to you and says, we demand that you allow us to violate your constitutional rights? We've abandoned that concept. We don't care what they are. You know, you need to think about this stuff. It's the same with the whole tax debate. I would never tell anybody not to pay taxes, ever. I would definitely encourage them to find ways to, you know, legally avoid paying taxes, of course. Less is always better. But when it comes to taxes, our founding fathers said that income taxes were, or a direct tax, was unconstitutional. They said it was a form of slavery. That you have a God-given ability to create wealth and therefore earn an income, and that was your right, and that man, government, did not have a right or duty to confiscate that from you. Now, they did believe in consumption tax. In other words, you know, taxes on exports, imports, sales, and things like that, that you could choose whether or not to pay. But the taxation system was pretty limited when it came, you know, to the federal government. And then over time, of course, things changed. And eventually we got sucked into the Federal Reserve Act, Keynesian economics, and away it went. They came in with another amendment to the Constitution, basically breaching the constitutional stance on taxation. And now our federal income tax is very unconstitutional. It's very progressive. Taxes have run amok, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so the whole point is, you know, as believers, we have to abide by this system of rules. But it is frustrating when the original Constitution was written from a Judeo-Christian standpoint and stated that what is now being practiced was specifically unconstitutional forms of slavery. And those are all, that's where a lot of these protesters come from. They really get into the whole thing of, you know, who's got rights over who as far as the government goes, and I'm not really going to get into all that. But you do have to ask yourself, I know there's some people that just take the stance that if the government says it, we have to do it. Well, the problem is, you know, the Constitution's real clear about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the ownership of property, and protection against illegal search and seizure, and illegal occupation by law enforcement authorities and things like that, free speech, right to bear arms, you know, all these kinds of things. And these are, folks, these are coming under such pressure and such fire. There's so much going on right now that is just absolutely threatening this at a level never, ever before precedented. We've got absolute radical communist socialists in leadership. They're not ashamed. And when they see you being stripped of your civil rights, they celebrate, because we're, in their minds, they're progressives. We're progressing towards this utopian socialism, this equality of everything that doesn't exist. It's not even anywhere in our nature. It's nowhere in the Bible, this, you know, gender equality and sexual equality, and they're trying to androgenize the sexes. They want men to be more feminine and women to be more masculine, and they don't want a man to dominate a woman at all. And, you know, again, we can get into the whole debate about, you know, men in the workplace and previous sexual harassment and all that. Absolutely that. But see, you can easily and quickly show where that's very unbiblical behavior. So we're assuming that all of it is put into application, not, you know, like the Old Testament, you know, stoning and this kind of stuff, because a lot of that has been renewed through the grace gospel of Christ. And also, you know, when you look at things like the Muslim Sharia law, I'm sure many of you saw this week where that gal came out and spoke directly against radical Islamic terrorism. And then you get these liberal Caucasian American organizations coming out and saying they're attacking the religion. I mean, folks, we have gotten to the point where right is wrong and wrong is right and good is evil and evil is good. And we are absolutely screwed up. If you are a Christian, you really cannot expect anyone from a government standpoint to defend your rights. If you're Muslim, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, and all over the board it goes. You get things like this going down, like the Bundy seizure of property going down in Nevada. You got the local Republican governor cleansing his hands, doing nothing. That just disgusts me. This guy, these people have just caved. It's all political. I guarantee you they say, well, hey, do a quick poll now. If I do involve myself, what will that do to my ratings? And if I don't, what will that do to my ratings? Oh, my ratings will go down, then I'm not going to do anything. Hell with what's right, wrong, good, bad, you know, spiritually correct in the eyes of God. I don't think they're looking for that. I think it's all about political points and expediency all the time now. So in this Bundy situation, the BLM and federal agents are pointing guns at people and threatening them for expressing their First Amendment rights. I mean, what would happen if the protesters possessed legally obtained handguns or guns? Bundy supporters are brandishing no guns or weapons, while the feds have posted over 200 sharpshooters and snipers around the perimeter of this region with shoot-to-kill orders at the drop of a pin, and then they're labeling the Bundy supporters as violent extremists. They will use infiltrators, I believe, to stage violence to justify the... They could do it to justify the death of these people that are constitutionally supported landowners. This is what the FBI does. I don't know if you've studied a lot of this, but nearly every major terror plot in the United States in the last whatever, well, actually going way back, forever, has been staged by the FBI. And even the New York Times reported on this, and it's very true. Almost every single Muslim-based terrorist act that has been stopped by the FBI in the last 12 years or whatever has been staged by them specifically. That's where they get somebody, they say they're someone they're not, they get them to take steps that they normally wouldn't do, and then they all of a sudden they've got them building, you know, some remote control plane thinking there's a bomb on it, finding out later there is no bomb on it, or the New York Times Square bomber that tried to park the truck, the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber, all these guys were exposed to the FBI prior to these events taking place. Not just exposed to the FBI, but duped or deceived by the FBI, posing as someone they're not, putting pressure on them. There was the one kid who was the, I think it was the underwear bomber, where his attorney came out and said, look, this kid tried to get out. The feds acted as if they were Al-Qaeda. They told this kid if he got out that they'd kill his family and all this stuff. So he was freaked out and went and bought like one little part. Now he's doing life in prison. The minute his attorney spoke up, they just came down with the hammer, shut his mouth. They put these people through separate courts without due process of law. And for those of you who think that's okay, trust me, it's not. When we've got systems of law out there like rendition, where we admittedly transport people outside the United States to Egypt to be tortured and interrogated, and then their bodies disposed of. I don't know if you've looked into that much, but there's plenty of evidence and fact, no debate, that we do this. And there was a story of a guy years back, Ibrahim something, that was an architect, came back to the United States and was captured by the feds because some relative of his had just done some terrorist attack and accidentally misdialed him shortly beforehand. They assumed he was involved. They took him to Egypt and just tortured him until you cannot believe. And some young CIA agent was smart enough to give the interrogator false information so that he'd know, or tidbits of false information, so that he knew if there was a confession, whether it was coerced or true. Well, of course, the confession included all those false pieces of information, and ultimately this CIA agent let this guy go, and of course he was, you know, kicked out and all this other stuff because, you know, the guy was supposed to be disposed of. We've even looked, you can look online, Obama's mentioned rendition a number of times, not just in passing and not as something from the past. He's mentioned it as something that is necessary at times. And I personally don't believe that. Now, I know there's certain ways to interrogate. I know of situations with friends I have that are, you know, very powerful tactical members of the special forces that were in situations a while ago when Al-Qaeda captured some of our soldiers, including women, and had them hidden somewhere. They interrogated these guys, and they have to give them three hots and a cot. That means three meals and a nice warm place to sleep. They could only hold them for 48 hours. If the interrogator stands, they're allowed to stand. If the interrogator sits, they have to be sat. And they had to let these guys go. The British Special Forces saw him leaving, grabbed him, took him into a room, and began to say, where are the people? They got spit on and mocked, and after a few fingers were broken a certain way, they got the information where these people were at. They were on helicopters. They were off by one building, but right as they got there to rescue these kidnapped soldiers, they were preparing to cut off their head and film it because they knew that the heat was coming down on them. Had we been stuck to our own methodology, they would have died and we'd have got a tape in the mail of a violent death. Instead, by using a little bit of fancy coercion, we were able to get it. So I'm not opposed to that kind of stuff. I mean, here I'm really stepping out on a limb here with all this stuff. I won't get too deep into it. There are fine lines, but at the same time, there's a wide variety of situations. Where I'm coming from is if someone's a U.S. citizen, we owe them due process of law, unlike this guy that was over in Yemen that we dropped drones on and killed because he spoke out against our government, even though he was a U.S. citizen. He used to speak for us. He used to prevent Muslim attacks until drone after drone killed his family. There's stories of, you know, special forces in Afghanistan going to the wrong house. slaughtering family members, and I'm not opposed to the military, but I can see where some of these people get a little bit angry and start to want to hurt the U.S. We end up in places we shouldn't be. We operate with a lot of arrogance and recklessness. And I guess I got a little sidetracked when I was talking about the FBI's involvement in all these terrorist plots, but they seem to be willing to do just about everything in their power to escalate peaceful, nonviolent protests to a point of violence to dispose of the Bundy family and their supporters. They're pushing the envelope further and further in this nation with various incidents. The Fed and local authorities are now on high alert at all times. I did some quick research today. The odds of law enforcement officers and officials dying on the job is well below dozens of more hazardous jobs. If you factor in the odds of law enforcement officers and officials dying by violent attack, the odds of death become even more astronomical. The odds of a law enforcement official dying on the job from any cause is lower than dog handlers, loggers, linemen, and power. Now, in other words, what I'm telling you, folks, these jobs are more dangerous. More of these people die than law enforcement people on the job. Dog handlers, loggers, linemen, and power installers, power repairers, firemen, search and rescue personnel, ground maintenance workers, construction employees, construction helpers and laborers, taxi drivers and chauffeurs have a higher ratio of death per employee than police officers and law enforcement. Garbage collectors is more dangerous for death than a police officer. Refuse disposal, roofers, farmers, and ranchers are even more likely to die on the job than police officers. The police officers' odds of dying on the job are lower than the Bundys, whom they're so terrified. Iron and steel workers, aircraft pilots and flight engineers, fishermen and fishing workers, and so on and so forth. According to the National Law Enforcement Statistics Bureau, we have 1.8 million law enforcement officers nationally. Approximately 150 of them die per year from all causes on the job related. 64% of these deaths are from homicide. The average law enforcement officer responds to 36 incidents per full-time shift. There's 200 working days per year. That's a total of 1.3 billion incident responses per year by law enforcement officials. With 150 total deaths from all causes, that means the odds of a law enforcement official dying on the job is 1 in 86 million incident responses nationwide. Yet they are programmed to assume everyone's a threat all the time, and this mentality has taken the officials who were initially designed and designated to protect their fellow citizens, and it has pitted them against the very citizens they were initially designed to protect. Friend has become foe, and this is what is absolutely necessary for violent socialism to eventually take over our nation. We are being programmed further and further towards the acceptance of tyranny. We're tolerating more abuse from our leadership, whether it's local, regional, national, international politicians and bureaucrats, financial managers, corporate controllers, religious leaders, media moguls, warlords, whatever. We're being conditioned to tolerate abuse by leadership authority at all levels. The expansion of tyranny is on the rise in this nation, and that is a terrible thing. If you look back through history, we go through these deep, long cycles. I mean, look at the long-term slavery. There was a time when Virginia alone had 500,000 slaves. I mean, we get to a point where we just absolutely devastate our fellow man. TV and Hollywood has glorified violent cops and almost mandated that they operate as runaway egotistical maniacs, setting the tone for the people who join these forces and those who stay out. The people who come in are adrenaline junkies, they're violent, they're aggressive. That's what's getting the hype up, especially in the big cities. This is conditioning. When we get those kind of personalities, guess what we get? We need to think about conditioning all around us. Think about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the point of the story? God's grace? Yes. His favoritism to his elect? Yes. His answer to prayer? Yes. His fairness and justice? Yes. In two ways. One was to judge the corruption and vileness of Sodom and Gomorrah, but also his allowing Lot to go free after He had even tried to hand his daughters over to the terribly homosexual deviants. People always refer to Lot's offering his daughters to protect the angels as some great feat. Really? Is that a man of valor who offers his virgin daughters up for rape to protect a perfect stranger male guests, human or angelic? Really? I don't think so. As a father, I would be quickly prepared to fight and die to protect my family and daughters in the same situation. Not offer them up to protect myself and others or to appease the insatiable appetite of evil. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is about conditioning and how far a corrupt society can bring a man of God and his family into the grips of corruption. Sodom and Gomorrah is about the importance of keeping a community and a nation holy and pure and not compromising those morals to appease the endless pressures of evil. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is about how entire nations and people can deviate until entire nations become so corrupt that they are doomed to God's wrath. In Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was not a holy man. Sodom and Gomorrah had methodically and systematically rejected and violated God's Ten Commandments. They be, you know, idolatry, I'm sure, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain, that's cursing. They didn't honor the Sabbath. That wasn't an important one. Obviously, they didn't honor their father and mother. Obviously, murder was okay. The homosexuals said, if you don't let us have them, we'll do worse to you than what we're about to do to them. Basically, they were saying, we know what we do is vile and painful and disgusting, but we still want to do it. They obviously, the commandment on adultery wasn't a real high priority. Stealing, well, that's okay to kidnap. Bearing false witness, you can't live a life of sin without being a liar, and then coveting other things that belong to the neighbor, you know, the 10th commandment, pretty obvious they were in there coveting. This is something America's starting to lean towards pretty heavily too, I think we've noticed. This nation is under serious, serious spiritual and moral attack. I know we all know that. We need to protect ourselves in advance against the ultimate and imminent greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime and very possibly global history. The Bible tells us we must be prepared. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. In Timothy, it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Our nation and our globe is being taken over by corruption and deception, and the financial realm is at the very base, the most important aspect that they're going after. However, the real action's coming from the IMF and the Fed. There's a massive transfer of wealth into Asia, coins and precious metals, folks, at an unprecedented rate. I'll get into that in the next half hour. As I said, there is a massive transfer of wealth that's about to take place. The stage has been set. The deceptions have been in. The metals manipulation over the last couple years, all of it is part of the grand scheme. You have time to prepare yourself. We do IRAs, 401ks, all sorts of financial advice and guidance. Please tune in to the next half hour where I'll get into that more in depth. Thanks once again for tuning in. Take care, God bless, and we will be back in the next half hour.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.